Right now, it is time to bring in the Frick and Frack of Nick and Knack. That is Tim Luke and Greg Strom, the appraisal guys. You'll find them on the web at tqag.com. That is Treasure Quest Appraisal Group. But you'll also find them live on a Tuesday morning here on Robinhood Radio. Welcome to fall, appraisal guys.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
It's not officially fall, but it is unofficially fall after Labor Day, you know?
I guess in
Florida it's not that significant, but here I have a neighbor that has a tree and he posted a picture of it, and he basically calls it, you know, the change of the season, and this tree is an indicator, and guess what, it's changing. So here we are, we notice it more here in the Northeast.
Well, we're noticing it here in Florida also, because do you remember as a kid growing up in August, you would start to hear the cicadas, and you knew, oh gosh, it's time to go back to school.
Yeah.
The cicada only lives like a day, and they just kind of fall out of the air. And now what we're seeing here is we're seeing them sort of laying around. So it's like, oh, you know, if I was up in Ohio right now, I know that we would be on our way back to school, but I know better.
Well, you see, one thing we learn as we get older, there's not a day goes by that we're not at school.
Well, that's true. That's true.
We've learned
indeed.
That over the years, and we've come to accept it. But anyway, so what significant has been going on in your industry?
Well, Tim pointed out to me this morning, and I'm actually on the site right now, there is an Americana auction that's coming up that looks pretty interesting. A lot of vintage and antique business signs, you know, like the one here, for example, is an optometrist, and it shows a hanging sign of a big pair of glasses, you know, like from the 19th century, where the signs used to represent what was inside. So I'm looking through it, and I'm seeing a number of weather vanes, which were always in the market for an interesting and authentic weather vane. So, and there are really interesting things coming up, and I think this auction starts on, let's see here, I'm trying to see.
It's actually on Saturday. It'll start on my birthday. It starts
the 19th. Yeah.
Saturday. And what's interesting about this auction, what I found interesting, is that a lot of the items that are in there are works or pieces that we used to covet when we would go to antique shows back in the 90s. Some of the advertising signs, the diamond dyes, cases, some of the weather vanes, but they were just too expensive. And this is what we tell collectors all the time. If there's things that you like, and now is the time for like some of these things, they have the prices and they're a little more affordable. So grab what you can, get the best condition
more
that you
affordable. I really think, you know, in looking at these estimates based on what we were looking at back in the heyday, I guess you might say, prior to worldwide internet auctions, I think the estimates are a little, they might be realistic, but I think they might be a little soft, don't you think, Tim? Because I remember when some of these, for example, the weather vanes, the estimates were through the roof, and prices for American weather vanes from the 19th century were astronomical. And now, you know,
I think the estimates are reasonable, but I think it's also a reflection that it's from one collection. It was a couple that collected the Americana items over the course of their collecting life. So that they're probably being conservative as well, and we'll see where it goes. That's going to be an interesting one to watch. to see where it goes, because it is one big collection, and it's there's already bids, you know, that are out there. So it's going to be one to watch.
That's now, I have a question for both of you. I sit here, and it's funny. I hear Americana, and I think, okay, Americana to me would be 1890s to the early 1900s. Now, I could be wrong. And then I hear the term mid-century American, and I figured mid-century American to me is like the 50s. So am I wrong in my timeline looking at things like that?
No, not really. Mid-century modern, for example, that was in our heyday, Marshall, when we back when we were coming up. I mean, everything. I'll give you a good example of what a perfect mid-century modern example is. Do you remember turquoise furniture and blonde coffee tables and turquoise lamps and those?
And avocado refrigerators.
Oh yeah, no, yeah.
Well, that's more in the 70s.
No, that's my era. Sorry.
we had a refrigerator called a Norge, okay? A Norge refrigerator, and it was a beast, and it lasted till I was 18 years old, and so it had to be like 50 years old. But then I was watching a TV show where this woman was retrofitting her kitchen, and she wanted it modern, but she wanted a refrigerator that looked like a Norge. Do you know there's a company that makes a refrigerator with all the technical improvements we have today, but the damn thing looks like a Norge, and she paid like $3,000 for it.
Oh yes, that happens all the time. It's the one of the reasons people collect is because it's nostalgia. They want that back. You can do the same thing with stoves. You can get the old fashioned, it looks like a wood burning stove, but you can get with all the bells and whistles, and it's a ceramic outside, and it has these real tiny ovens. And you see them available. Decorators and designers are using them for people all the time when they're updating kitchens. It has all the 21st century bells and whistles, but it looks like you're back in the early.
It gives it that modern look or that vintage look, whatever they're looking
for. My grandmother used to cook on, and this is no lie, a huge stove. And it was gas at the time because she had been converted, but it had one big oven, and then in the center, then on each side, two smaller ovens. It had six burners, and in the middle it had a griddle plate that also could turn in to just a grilling plate. And it was huge, and it was ceramic, and it was white. And I often wondered, why the hell did we get rid of that? We should have held on to that, because that would have been worth tons of money today.
Well, maybe, but just remember what we always say. Just because it's old doesn't mean it's valuable.
Yeah, but all these people building these houses want stuff like that.
Well, that's true. But they want the 21st century bells and whistles. They like the nostalgic look of it, but they want the functionality of what's the technology today. So, you know, I guess nowadays you can have it both ways. But just like with this sale for the Americana stuff, these are things that you really only want the originals on, because even if the value does not increase over time because of the worldwide auction market right now, especially online, you can actually say these are authentic. And there's also a collector like us. We like the authentic things, and we buy what we can afford as long as it's original. We would never, for example, have a reproduction poster. We buy the original advertising posters and signs, because that it's not so much nostalgia, it's almost like buying an original piece of art. So for us, and for I think other collectors out there, that is what drives the collecting market still to this day.
You know what I like about people that collect things like this? They don't put them away and hide them. They put them up as wind vanes. They put them up as decorations, so people get to see them and enjoy them. That's the one thing I love about people that collect items like that.
Well, right. You know, I used to, when Tim was auctioneering for Bertoia, the toy auction, company, there were collectors who had things. Most of the collectors did display their toys, and some of them actually built barns to display all of their toys at. But there are some people who collect things and squirrel them away. And I always said to Tim, why would you spend that much money on something and not want to display it for people to see and to talk about? Because conversation is another part of collecting. You have something, you want to share it with someone, and you want the conversation to start. So I've never really quite understood people who collect things and squirrel them away like a museum. That's just not the way we operate. I'd rather have one really good original item on display than have an entire barn full that nobody sees except yourself.
No, even you don't even know that's there.
Now, what encompasses true Americana collectibles? I mean, we've talked about a few things. I mean, is it a vast supply of things, or is it very limited?
It depends on the items, but you know, you're looking at folk art. You're looking at things that, like the advertising signs, like some of the trade signs, weather vanes, things that really started here. That were crafted here and were made either by hand or in limited numbers of quantities. So that's where it becomes, you're not going to find a lot of the same items. And like with the weather vanes, they use them as target practice too. So some of them didn't exist, or they were demolished or destroyed. So finding them in great condition, because they were never meant to be collected. They were just on top of barns in different places across America. And when you find them in great condition, then that's why that they've survived. That's why people will pay big sums for them if they're rare, desirable by certain makers. I mean, those are the things that you want to look for.
You know, it's interesting you talk about that. As a kid, with power service, there used to be these glass bulbs that were on power lines when they came in and they attached to the pole. And every once in a while in the wintertime or the summertime, they would get blown off and they would fall and they wouldn't break. And and we would collect them. They were this beautiful aqua bluish type of color. But like I wonder if something like that would be collectible nowadays.
They are. As a matter of fact, I'm only chuckling because it's I swear to God, Marshall, we are like the Corsican brothers. I swear to God, we're joined at the hips because I went through the exact same experience as a kid. We used to look for those things. We would walk along the railroad tracks looking for those things because they were and they used to be made at in my father's hometown. There was a factory that used to make those where my dad grew up, and we used to look for them all the time. And they were at a point in time in the 90s very, very desirable, very collectible, especially in the condition you're talking about, where it was a prize when you found one that didn't have any breaks or cracks in it as a kid. And they still do exist for glass collectors and for there again, it's a piece of Americana, but I don't think in the quantity that was in the 90s when the whole
and the desirability is not as desirable now.
No.
Is that people just don't collect them? They use them as paperweights, or they display them.
I can't tell you what we used to use one when I lived in Glenford, New York, but I won't tell you what we used it for. But it wasn't a paperweight, but it was used quite a lot. That's all I'll say. Well, thank you for this. Today is back to school day in Connecticut, so we learned a lot today about Americana, and we'll have a test on it again next week.
Yes.
All right, guys.
And if all goes well, we might tell you that we ended up buying something that we're coveting.
Okay. Well, that's 2 weeks from now.
All right, guys, I'll speak to you next week.
Okay. Have a great week.
Take care. Tim, Luke, and Greg Schramm, the appraisal guys, the frickin' Frack of Nick and Knack. Treasure Quest Appraisal Group on the web is tqag.com.